Good morning, everyone. It is really a blessing that God has prepared this place for us, that we come from all corners of the earth, really different nations. We can gather here together so we can witness God's work in our midst, and we can really witness the different work God has been doing in different places. So we are really excited these past days. I hope that you rested well yesterday, because after yesterday night's variety programs, you would be so excited, because we are very encouraged to see brothers and sisters from different churches when they come up with a program in unity. I trust that when God sees these things, we can co-work with one another. God will be so pleased with us. So not only we are happy, but also God in heaven is also pleased. He will be pleased to be in our midst. So today is a really happy occasion. Everyone will enjoy today, because today is the day of resurrection, that we remember the Lord's resurrection. I hope that God's grace and peace be with you. Because this camp, it is really a big project. It's really not a simple matter. I don't know whether we will have this kind of combined camp in the future, because the preparation is really enormous work. They really commit themselves totally to do the preparation. And the MCs yesterday, they already explained a little bit to us the different areas of work, like the refreshment or the sound system, everything, the translation. So we give thanks to them. It's the beauty of the kingdom. And when everyone is willing to serve as a servant, when everyone is willing to do that, will God bless us? So it's different from the worldly concept. In the world, everyone wants to be the boss so that others can serve them. So it's a totally different concept. When you come to the church, and if you are Christian, you have to be serious. You need to be serious to read the Word of God so that He will transform and renew us. Only then could we become a blessing to others. Only then will we be able to understand God's will, to do His will. So in this camp, we have happy time together, but at the same time, we have the preaching time. I hope you can understand that God's word is of utmost importance, because that's the foundation of our spiritual life. Without God's word, God will not work. If your heart is not open to receive God's word, God will not also work, because God's spirit and God's word are related to leaders. So listening to the message is also important, and doing what we have learned is equally important. So today is a special occasion. It's a day that we remember the Lord's resurrection. So this is really important, because it not only passes on a hope, but that the Bible tells us God raised Jesus from the dead in order to proclaim to the world. God has already appointed Him to be the Christ, to be the Lord that judged the earth. So God exalted Him to the highest, because He is willing to lower Himself. So God exalts Him to the highest, below God, but above all men. So He has the highest position. So the Bible says, you have to listen to Him. That is the definition of being a Christian. You need to listen to the Lord Jesus. So if you really are a Christian, somebody, a disciple of Christ, you need to listen to Him. That is God's command. And at the same time, God gives us a hope. God will exalt the lowly ones. But if you're really serious in following Christ, whatever Christ has experienced, the same you will also experience. So you will also be glorified together with Him. You will reign with Him. You will also suffer with Him. But you will also be glorified. God wants us to know that our whole direction of life is to imitate Christ. So today I need to summarize the two messages before. So let us pray and prepare our hearts, commit our time to the hands of the Father. Our Father in heaven, Yahweh, today we have this blessing to come before you. This is really the highest blessing we can have, and we are not worthy of this blessing. So we hope that through these few days of life in the camp, your Spirit will work in our hearts, that through the message we have heard, your Spirit will work a deeper transforming work in our life, and you will kindle the heart of gratitude in us. So we will be willing to respond totally to you. So Heavenly Father, through this camp, you will work once again in the midst of your people, because the those who are called are many, but those who are chosen are few. So we tremble and fear because we want not only to be called, but we want to be chosen, that our life will be like the life of Christ. We can be a blessing to nations. So we pray earnestly today through your word, you will work in the brother and sister's heart. So we commit the following time to you, and I also commit myself, your unworthy servant, to you, that you will use him as your spokesman, not to express his own mind, but your will do that will refresh your people, that will restrain and encourage your people. Amen. The camp theme is taken from the Beatitude. The Beatitudes, that is from Psalm 37. Actually, the Beatitudes is a summary of Psalm 37. Psalm 37, like humility or meekness, peace, righteousness, persecution, compassion, lending to the poor, all these things can be found in Psalm 37. And the Beatitudes have summarized Psalm 37. But I hope that you will understand one thing. The Beatitudes, first of all, points out the image, that is, the image of Christ. When you read the Beatitudes, everything, all the qualities mentioned in the Beatitudes can be found in the life of the Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus has become poor for our sake, and he mourns for our sin, and for God's will, he is willing to be a humble person, and he is pure in heart. And he's the first one he's able to ascend to heaven to face God face to face, and he suffered persecution for righteousness' sake, and he reconciles us, helps us to be reconciled to God. So please understand the Beatitudes point first and foremost to the Lord Jesus. What does it have to do with us? We are disciples of Christ. We need to imitate Christ. So I hope that you understand. The Beatitudes, when you read it, it has to do with us, close connection with us. So I hope that after listening to two messages, you will feel that, oh, it's really difficult to inherit the earth. How to inherit? What will we have in the future? Oh, we need to conquer the land in order to inherit. Oh, what a big project. We need to be humble. Actually, these things are not what we want. And we don't want to listen to these things, because that is man. It's hard for man to understand God's word because man is self-centered. And this self-centeredness will express itself in greed. We want everything for ourselves. And because of greed, we are never satisfied. We want money. So all the time, these things like gravity that pulls us down, especially for Christians, we cannot do anything and we can't go anywhere. So I hope that we really face the problem of self, the problem of greed. And God gives me a big encouragement. Before we came to the camp, it's a Thursday. This is the picture. Can you see it, this picture clearly? This picture, can you see clearly? And this picture, I find it in 1993 in Montreal, Canada. And our brother, he bought like National Geographic magazine. So I flipped and I saw this picture, and I read the magazine, and this picture really is stunning. It's a shock to me. God, through this picture, helped me to understand what is sin, what is greed, and helps me to understand why the love of money is the root of all evil. Because in this world, we find that we know that there are lots of problems in this world. Many people suffer, people are poor, all these things we know. But we often ask the question, why doesn't God care about this problem? Why so much unfairness? Why God is not concerned about all these things? Whatever we hear, whatever we see, we feel a sense of unfairness. We criticize and we also get upset. We are angry. Whatever things happen, we start to put the blame on somebody. As if we are more concerned for this world, more concerned than God. We are wrong. And this picture, what does this picture mean? The article says this picture is taken in Africa. It is along the coast. So this picture was read by me in 1993, 1994. I didn't have a camera and I could not search it in the internet. And I didn't keep this picture at all. But many years later, this picture often surfaced in my mind. So this time, I want to share with you. So I tell God, can I find this picture? God, could I find this picture? I ask God, could I find this picture? I want to show it to them because it's really stunning. So I search and I search Africa, starvation. I search this topic, children, the fish with bones. So I gave up because I knew that I couldn't find it anymore. And until Thursday night, very amazing. So I just turn on my computer. It's a picture. So I flip. So I flip, what picture I saw? Oh, this is the picture that I wanted to find. So I honestly say, I didn't have the impression that I had this picture with me. I didn't know at all. I kept this picture in my computer. This is honest word. So I was really surprised. How come I had this picture at all? I didn't have an impression I kept this picture. But God answer my plea for this picture. So I show this picture to you. It's taken in a country along the coast in Africa. I didn't know the name. I couldn't remember the name. So it says a lot of poor people and the children, they lack nutrition. They are so skinny, very skinny. And the writer says they lack nutrition not because they don't have food. Actually, they have very rich resources. How come they didn't have food? They couldn't eat it. Why? They couldn't have the food. Because European countries, they have money and they buy these fish, fillet. They only want the fillet. So we are so luxurious that we don't eat fish with bones, fish bones. We don't like bones. We like fillet. So we have money. It's legal. 1 ketty, maybe 50 cents. So Europeans, they give $2 per ketty. Of course, if you are a businessman, you are greedy. You, of course, sell to the Europeans. The local people, they can't afford $2 per ketty. Of course, they couldn't buy it. Why do they have famine? Why do the children lack nutrition? Is it God does not provide for them? God provided, but because of our covetousness, they didn't have. So this is really stunning, really stunning. So suddenly, I understand. I feel I didn't have sin. I am not selfish. So they have famine. How come the government does not do anything? The government is really weak. The government cannot work for the people. But we didn't know that because we have money. So I buy the resources from them and then I exploit them in this way. Do you have sin? So please consider carefully. Don't be selfish and don't be self-righteous. The love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all evil. It's really correct and I understand now. So I find that Christians, please give thanks, be content in everything. The root of the problem is you and me, not God. So we say that China is rising up. So please be careful before people exploit us. So all the foreign companies, they come. They don't care about the pollution rules, all the regulations, they don't care. And they have very cheap labor, everything is cheap. And the land, they just dump the things there. So they get the benefit from the Chinese people. But when we rise up, what do we do? Will we also repeat the same thing? And we go to those poorer countries. And we use the same method to relate to the poorer countries. And without God, we could not really leave this kind of bondage. There is no new thing under the sun because your self-centeredness makes that nothing is new. No matter how many change or political change will there be, the problem is still the same. Many people now, they want to go to really those paradise islands. Don't go. Don't go. Many small countries, nations, they are happy. They are content. The local people are content. But when you go there, and the paradise will be ruined. And we are not satisfied with local food. We want to eat very special, unique food. So I have money, I want to buy, I don't eat local food. Because China is rising up, we have money, we can do whatever we like. So whatever I like, I just do it. That is selfishness and that is greed. And be careful with what the Bible says to us. Do not be self-righteous. In this process, you feel that the famine in other countries has to do with you because you have money. Because every day you go to eat buffet. Because, and you want to eat things from other countries. Because you have money to buy. Indonesia, Africa, those things are cheap. You buy from them. So it's your greed. And suddenly I realize, I understand why the Bible says woe is for the rich. Because the savings in the bank account will be accusation used by Satan. Because those big sum of money actually belong to others. they exploit others in order to get such a big saving. Actually, these should belong to others. So I find that Bill Gates is really very clever, and he really donates a big, big sum of his money out. He is right. He knows all these things come from the society, and he returns to the society. So I know that only the words in the Bible can really help us to be a wise person. I tell you, we all have sins. If God does not open our eyes, we do not know what is sin. I did not kill. I did not set fire on other people's house. I have no sin. But in the sight of God, in the future, you will know. In all these sufferings of people in the world, you participate in it. So all the resources God gave us should be shared by men. But because of covetousness, we ruin the good earth God has given us. So we as managers of the earth, we have failed. So the kingdom is near. God has to clean this place. And God, I want to use symbolic language, the earth, because Christ will reign on the earth for 1,000 years. So God wants to pass this earth to the meek, and first of all, to Christ, and also those who imitate Christ. So that is what this verse means. The meek, the humble, they will inherit the earth. So I want to read a verse about inheriting the earth. What does it mean? I want you to pay attention. This is a promise given to the father of faith. That is Acts chapter 7 verse 5. Acts chapter 7 verse 5. He didn't give him an inheritance in it, not even a foot of ground, but he promised to give it to him as a possession and to his descendants after him, even though he was childless. Can you see? This is a promise given to Abraham. Actually, Abraham did not even have a foot of ground. So he's really by faith because he couldn't see anything. And this promise is given to him and also to his descendants. So when we read the Bible, how to express, and not only to think of a piece of land, Palestine. If it's only Palestine, then God is not really anything powerful, because China is also a big country. So how come I should go to Palestine? Actually, God gives to Abraham something without boundary, you know, without boundary. The meek on this earth, they don't even have a foot of ground unless God prepares for them. So the meek is a person who trusts in God. He does not rely on himself, use his own method. He trusts in God. Let us read Hebrews 11 verse 8. Hebrews 11 verse 8. Verse 8, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went out to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. So Abraham didn't get anything. Notice, he believed in the word of God and he went out. He went out. This is important. So that's what Pastor Mark was telling us. You have to go out. God gave you a promise, but you have to go out. So we carnal people, we look at the Bible from a selfish point of view. How come God didn't give it to me? So little? So it's all about greed. But the Bible is not teaching us about this. God doesn't want us just to take something as a gift for us. God wants us to participate. So in the church, Christians, we are not safe and forever safe. But many people, they could not accept this. So they say, you preach such a hard teaching. The others say, when you believe, you will be safe. But you make it so hard. And you say, it's not like that. You just raise your hand and you just believe. But you have to go out. You have to obey like Abraham. But many Christians, they did not do the second step. They just sit there and try to receive the promise. But on that day, they discovered that they didn't have. On that day, many people will call Jesus Lord, Lord. And they did a lot of miraculous things. But Jesus say, I didn't know you. I don't know you. Self-centeredness and covetousness made us blind. You only read the verses that you like. And those verses that you dislike, you never see anything. You never see anything because they are not appealing to you. Your self-centeredness, your selfishness made you blind. And if you understand, how come we say that it's not once saved, always saved? Because the teaching is very simple. You have to read the Bible carefully. Not to use your own thinking and not to guess. It's not guesswork. Because God has already spelled out His mind in the Bible. And if you don't understand, the only reason is you are not willing to obey. And you also do not do it consistently. So Abraham, even though he did not have anything, by faith, he is willing to go out, to venture forth. So only those who are willing to venture forth will be able to see God. Why did Abraham have to leave his own place? If you are a selfish person, oh, the foreign place is very good. My place is not good. That's why I need to go out. Of course, this is understandable. But don't forget, Abraham stayed in Mesopotamia. It's a very rich place, like Shanghai, Shenzhen, the north of China. Such a good land, and he's not poor. How come he need to go out? 11 verse 10, Hebrew 11 verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So here it tells us the answer. He went out. He was willing to wait because he was looking forward to the city built by God, an eternal one. So God built and designed. That is God's place. So Abraham desired such a city. This city was designed, managed, governed by God. So this is really important. Are you looking forward to such a city? Or you just want to be greedy to have more land? You cannot really leave this kind of kind of thinking. So the most important thing for land to be good is the ruler of the land. Abraham knows that wherever God governs, wherever God rules, is the best place. So God will design and build the city. That is what Abraham wants. So who governs the place is of utmost importance. Actually, the system is not the most important. Without God, how can those without God improve the place? You know, through wars, through revolutions, actually nothing new under the sun. All kinds of revolution or things will not make any change. Because self-centeredness, selfishness make everything in vain. Because the nationalists, the Chinese, after China was founded, because of greed, corruption begins to surface one more time. If this is not dealt with, we have trouble. Can you see the cycle? Because man is greedy. Man doesn't want to have God. So man is in this cycle forever, moving in this cycle, the same cycle. So some people like capitalism, some people like democracy. All these systems are just systems. Singapore is also governed by one party. But there is an opposition party. But it doesn't have a lot of influence. I hope Christians, we begin to see clearly, we need God, we need God. Without God, we don't have a hope. We don't have hope. I read in the newspaper, I read an article about Stephen Hawking, and he expressed his views about artificial intelligence. Because we talk about artificial intelligence. When you drive a car, you don't need a driver anymore. So how come we don't want to even drive a car? Before, we find that we walk, and then we have car, and now we don't even want to drive. And now we don't see the map, we use GPS. I'm not saying the technology is bad. And Hawking does not say technology is bad, but his concern, artificial intelligence could be the disaster in human history, because he says greed is the hidden problem. Because people are concerned about wars, how to use artificial intelligence to fight the war. So I know that the system is really complicated, the PA system is really complicated. Hawking is a very clever person. He knows the artificial intelligence, because of man's covetousness, man will ruin everything good. So they start to think of a robot and buy the robot and to accompany you. He will be your sex partner. You can vent your lust. So you see, even before these kind of things come up, people start to think how to satisfy their greed, how to satisfy their covetousness. So Hawking, what he thinks is really right. And people say we are heretic because man's time will come to a stop, because God cannot tolerate this kind of evil anymore. Because now scientists says man will come to an end because of covetousness. Whatever that is good will be ruined by man. So Hawking says, maybe we need to go to other planets. Actually, a few scientists are saying this. Actually, this cannot solve our problem. But they sense that there's no hope with this Earth. We need to go to other planets. But of course, we transport our greed to other planets. No new thing under the sun. Nothing new, and it could not solve your problem. So I want to emphasize one more time, the kingdom is near. That is our only hope. We have to start with you and me. So when we say the kingdom is near, you have to repent. Mankind's problem has to be solved starting from you and me. And don't criticize the others. Don't criticize the society, the government. Because the government is made up of people. And people means you and me. You are not better than the others. And if you are concerned about the society, please carefully obey God's words. That is the only way out. Only when you are governed by God will others have a hope. So this is the first factor. The first factor is the ruler is of utmost importance. Secondly, the dwellers, those who stay in that place. Every country knows, if you want to migrate to a country, they have a lot of requirements, criteria for you to meet. Have you criminal record? Have you any sickness, illness? So they don't want these things to be transported to their country. Only these people will be able to help to build up the society. So you think that there is no criteria in entering the kingdom? So you just raise your hand and you can go to the kingdom, and you believe and you go to the kingdom? Of course not. Nonsense. Blessed are the meek. The Bible tells us clearly, only the meek can inherit whatever God has prepared for us in the new kingdom. So this is a really important quality, meekness. Pastor Su Zhuang, he already explained to us the importance of meekness. That is really important. The Bible tells us about Moses. Moses is a meek person. And this meek person is greatly used by God. And when the Bible talks about Christ, Matthew 21, it talks about he riding. Do you remember? The ruler is important. And he is a meek person. He is a meek person. This is really important. Only the meek person will be used by God. So God will give him authority. So I want to emphasize this importance. Christ riding on a donkey. It says James chapter 1 verse 21. Because the Bible asks us to imitate Christ, to be like him, meek and gentle of heart. Do you really imitate Christ? So let's read about importance of meekness. Chapter 1 verse 21. James, the book of James, it says, ridding yourself of all moral filth and evil, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save you. Without God's word, you won't be saved. You have to get rid of the moral filth and evil. And also, you need to receive God's word humbly. So there is no one safe, always safe teaching. So God uses his word to prepare us so that we are worthy to inherit the kingdom. So the importance of meekness is important because that's the criteria to receive the word of God. It's not something outside, like you speak softly, somebody... They don't quarrel because they are afraid. Not because they are meek. They are afraid. So it's not about character. It's an inner attitude towards God, towards God's word. So only this kind of person will be able to be led by God. So a meek person can be led by God. So Abraham looks forward to that. Not only to the city, but Abraham wants to be governed by God also. The ruler is important. The dwellers are also important. The Lord's Prayer, may your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Of course, the Lord already taught us what is meekness. May God be able to govern us in our life. So that is what Abraham is longing for. Abraham longs for the place that is governed by God. Of course, Abraham himself, first of all, is governed by God. So he leaves his place to represent his willingness to be led by God all his life. Abraham is a meek person. He is able to be led by God all his life. So that's the beauty of the kingdom. So on that day, you will only see meek people. People able to be led by God. A beautiful place, a wonderful place. So if you have this meekness quality, but before you long for that, you now need to learn to use a meek heart to receive God's word. Let the word of God work in your life. So now, I want to emphasize one point. I want you to understand why God need to call Abraham. Why? Of course, I'm not talking about his qualities and so on. I'm talking about the purpose. Why God called Abraham? Genesis 22:16-18. Yahweh said, "By myself I have sworn, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son, I will indeed bless you." And then, 18, verse 18, "All the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring, because you have obeyed my command." So notice, God's command. Abraham obeyed God's command. So that's the last time God talked to Abraham. Abraham offered up Isaac. And this move is very important because we can see that Abraham is a selfless person. He is a selfless person. Self-centered person will not do this thing because he got his only son in such a hard way. Why should he offer him up now? So we just listen to God's command heartily. The other half, we won't listen. God, of course, knows Abraham. It's in order to let us know what kind of person Abraham is, because he's the father of faith. If he is the father of faith, in what way you need to imitate Abraham? This is in order to demonstrate to us why God chose Abraham to bless the nations. If you do not fear God, you do not obey God, you will be selfish, you will be covetous, and you do not have the power to get out of this bondage. Why should God bless Abraham? Because all nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring. God, through Abraham, and also his offspring, will bless all nations. So, this is not selfish concept. When we build a house, we want to build without neighbors. No, the neighbors should be far away from us. So we don't understand why. You bless me, and how come it has to do with other nations? Unless you are not a self-centered person. If you can get rid of the self-centeredness, you will be happy. And my life can bless so many others. How a big privilege. You are concerned about society, you are concerned about the world. But why shouldn't you be happy when you are able to bless all nations? Why are you puzzled by this verse? So those who imitate the faith of Abraham will be descendants of Abraham. Not all Israelites are his Abraham, but only those who imitate the faith of Abraham, they are the descendants of Abraham. And through them, God will bless all nations. So let us think more carefully on this matter. Can a person, an ordinary man, bless nations? Is it possible? An ordinary man can bless nations? If he will not affect others, that's already good enough. But in the practical life, we see a really practical example. Those who respond, the preacher, the servants of God, and they leave their own comfortable place, and God really used them to bless nations. And we know Pastor Eric, he is an example. And Liverpool Church, we saw the pictures, the early days, the pictures taken, and you observe his life because he's willing to respond, to go out, to go to different places, and to follow God's leading. And his life has blessed a lot of people. And many, a few nations here already. And maybe you do not know him directly, but you know his disciples. You know the co-workers after him. And he, the co-workers are like descendants of Pastor Eric. And God through them blessed you. Nations, nations. I don't want to count like numbers and so on. But the fact is that you can see nations. So this picture, God through Abraham, offspring, bless nations. So you teach them God's word. So the blessings will multiply because the offspring will multiply. The descendants will be more and more. And the people being blessed will increase. I think of a co-worker couple in Nepal. So I really give thanks whenever I think of them, because the two of them, they leave their own country, they leave their own parents, they go to Nepal for many, many years, and they don't know Nepali, and they learn Nepali. Now they know Nepali, and they use Nepali to preach the gospel to them, and the church is now being built up in Nepal. And Nepal, we have brothers and sisters there. But don't forget, it is because they are willing to leave. They are willing to venture forth. So they are able to be a blessing to other nations. So don't think that it's something far-fetched. Actually, it's happening around you. If you are selfish, you cannot see it because you don't want to see it. You will have pressure. You want to leave? You have pressure. Oh, it's a cost. It's a price to pay. So I hope we don't use a lot of reasons to reject God's working in your heart, like family, parents, whatever, to use as a reason to reject. Because God loves your family deeper than you love your family. It's my experience and a lot of co-workers' experience. Oh, I need to take care of my family. I cannot leave, right? If there is a good job, high pay, you will leave right away. Please be honest. Be honest. Don't use these strange reasons to defend for yourself. In front of God, you need to be honest. You need to be honest. These things I know, because I thought of these things. I'm not better than you. I also experience these things because selfishness and covetous. I'm like you. I'm one of you. So I find that Christians in many places, we cannot compare with non-Christians, and we are not worthy to be called Christians. We are insulting God. In Hong Kong, there was SARS, and there was a lot of moving things. Like medical officers, they, in order to save the SARS patients, they did not leave their posts. They did not leave their posts. And they have to separate from their family, like quarantine, because they bear a great risk. All the people, they stay home in order to be safe. But if you face the SARS patient, it is a big trouble for you. And really, quite a number of them, because they were faithful to the post, they need to sacrifice themselves. And that is the glory of the Hong Kong people. If you don't sacrifice yourself, you cannot bless others. And that is the teaching we received this morning. I hope that those who are willing to sacrifice themselves, the non-Christians, they will see greater things, not only to sacrifice for the things of the present life. Because people cannot leave the bondage of greed, the bondage of selfishness. There's no new thing under the sun. Whatever new, it is from God. Can the church bring hope to the world? So if those who do not know God, they only can rely on political revolution, those to change the world. Actually, sometimes I feel sad. A lot of people die. And then, after a few years, it's the same. And this country fought with the other country. After that, they wanted to be friends. You know, it's really meaningless. So the Chinese are right, because they say that in order for the world to be peaceful, we have to start from ourselves. We have to start from ourselves. If we are selfish, whatever we see is from carnal point of view. The first step has to start with you and me. If we don't do anything, there will be no change in the world. Unless our life, we are willing to be governed by Christ. So, the church, can we bring hope to the world? Can we? Especially in Hong Kong. Over the past, because a lot of demonstration, protest, the young people, they want to show concern to the society. But this method cannot solve any problem, and not a biblical method. And please, do not get involved in this thing. There's nothing new under the sun. I'm not saying no effect, but only short-term effect. You criticize others. When you become an official, you will become like him. Nothing new, unless your life is changed by God. If you are really concerned for the society, don't do those test demonstrations. If you are changed by God, the world will be peaceful. Sometimes I'm very concerned, very worried. I don't know how you feel about it. Or in the riot, you become hurt, you become handicapped. Is it worth it? And you don't listen to God's word. And that's why you only use man's way to solve your problem. But the Bible already tells us. That's the biblical teaching. So let's see whether we can accomplish great things for God. That is God's word. Not whether God can do it, is whether we can believe. Whether we can believe. Because these days, some brothers and sisters, they try to learn Russian language. And some co-workers, will God lead us to the Central Asia region? Maybe, yes, it's possible, because we come to know some Christians from Russia. They want to recommend some translator to translate Pastor Eric's books. So that's a start for us. They want to look for us to translate Pastor's books. So maybe that's God's leading. So we come to know some friends in Central Asia. So they would like to find a job in that region. Maybe that is God's leading. It's not about something big or something small. But do you have the heart to venture forth? So some brothers and sisters, they have the heart to respond to God's call. And God will remember you. And maybe in the short time, you see nothing, but God will remember you. So even in practical life, many things we can learn. I know that God wants me to venture out and not to stay put in my own little place in China. Not only I'm concerned about my father, my mother, my children, my grandchildren. In that way, our thinking is the same as the world. When we talk about looking for a job, how do you look for a job? If you are selfish, you think that, oh, I need a convenient transportation. If the pay is high, then I don't want to leave this job. So that is the selfish and also greedy person. He thinks in this way. And if I go out, I don't have a job. Actually, you can go out. because you don't find a job at home, you go to the south of China to find a job. Also, tourists, we go for a tour. We like to find those paradise islands. Why? Why? You have a lot of money. You don't know where to spend your money. You pollute this place. You want to pollute that place. And you use a lot of makeup. And after washing, and you wash these things. And they don't have this mechanism to protect themselves from pollution. And the coral, they are dead. And it has to do with you also. And you ask God. Oh, the list, the name list has my name also. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. Because the picture give me a lot of thoughts. Ask God to lead you. You can survey a place. Can this place be a place where I can preach the gospel? Or maybe I find a job in that place to migrate to that region. Actually, some brothers and sisters, they migrate to a place. Actually, you can do it. Actually, many people, they work in different places, far away from home, far away from husband, children, and they're willing to do it. Is it they cannot do it? No, they can do it. Is that they are not willing? And me and my wife, we don't want to store up many things so that we can move anytime. Because if you want to move, you have to keep things simple. If you have a big house, you need to buy things to fill the house. The bed is big, the sofa is big, the TV is big. Then how can he move? How can he move? Moving house is impossible. So in so many years, if I want to be led by God, I have to live a simple life. If he asks me to go, I'll go. So this is real. So I have to emphasize, when you see a coworker, I think of one point, many brothers and sisters, you are from the radio, 福音电台, the radio ministry, because some brothers and sisters, they know us. But when you're willing to venture forth, but God will use you to bless many others far away. So I want to say, not this point, I hope you understand, me and other co-workers, we are servants of God, and don't make us idols. That is detested by God. If you want to see me as an idol, then it's a woe to me, because you have not focused your attention on God. And if you receive benefit from a servant of God, you imitate him, and God will use you to bless others. So this is something that I think of, so I want to share with you. So that is what our desire is. I hope that you can see God's glory from us, and you turn your attention to God, not to us. So that is what we learn. We have to keep things simple in order to be movable. So everything has to be light. So brothers and sisters, co-workers, don't be concerned. We are not lacking in anything. That is deliberate. How come you don't have many things? So that is our lifestyle. Actually, we have a lot. So don't be worried about us. Because of time, so I need to come to an end, my message. So I want you to see, be careful with self-centeredness and greed, because this will hinder us from listening, from being led by God. I hope that in through the past messages, we will understand, in order to inherit the earth, we need to participate. God wants to bless nations through us, that nations will be gathered to God's kingdom, that they will also be blessed. And this is the opposite to self-centeredness. That is what a meek person is. If you're willing to be God's servant, that God will bless others through you. So we will have a prayer together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We fear and tremble, and we ask you for your help. Ask you to help your people, because we know that the power of sin is great, and the self-centeredness, the covetousness is like gravity, the force of gravity to pull us down. And Satan used this world to tempt us. So those who are called are many, but those who are chosen are few. So Heavenly Father, we want to be those who are chosen. Because today you have gathered us here, I hope that through your word, you will kindle our hearts to see the vision in front of us. And you call us in order to make us a blessing to nations. So Father, renew our heart, our mind through your word. Every time when we hear your word, we feel that your word is sweet. So, once again, we commit the camp, commit everyone in the camp to your hand. May you, your word be planted in their hearts, that even though they leave the camp, your word will be with them in their hearts to guide them along. So we commit the following time of the camp to you. We offer up our thanks. Amen.